Today on More to Life, agree to disagree. How can you resolve conflicts gracefully? We're going to share some great tips. Call in at 877-573-7825 with those arguments that are hard for you to handle.
Says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to Life. The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day. Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to marry. Practical. Theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life. God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And today on More to Life, our show is titled Agree to Disagree. We all have those certain topics that are hard to discuss, that we end up butting heads with someone that we care about or who's important to us. And sometimes the best we think we can do is to agree to disagree. We'd like to help you get past that and find some ways to really respond effectively and create greater harmony in all of your relationships. So if there's a topic or issue or problem that you and a loved one are agreeing to disagree about, or maybe disagreeing to disagree about, as the case may be, we want to help you through it. Give us a call at 877-573-7825. The question again, what things are hardest to negotiate between you and the people you love? And are there certain topics that seem to always lead to tension for you and somebody you care about? Do you find yourself getting stuck in arguments about things that are important to you and not sure how to get past the headbutting? We are here for you at 877-573-7825.
This can be, you know, as you're alluding to, Craig, a topic that comes up a lot. You know, how we manage our money, how we manage our intimate life, how we parent the kids, how we celebrate our faith or exercise our faith in our family life. It can be something that comes up a lot where, you know, you're rubbing each other the wrong way all the time on this. And sometimes when we do that, we either choose to keep arguing and arguing and arguing and arguing every time the topic comes up and we get nowhere but more stressed out with each other. Or we can agree to disagree, which often means we're just going to, like, cross our arms, turn our backs on each other, and say, well, you know, you can have your way, you stupid jerk, and I'll have my way because I know I'm right and I'm stubborn. And the other person's thinking exactly the same thing. And we don't get anywhere with it. Those are two major ways to handle things that happen a lot. But sometimes we just do this even with a topic that comes up that's fresh and new. I want to change jobs. I want another child. I want to make a change in our lives in some way or the other. And we don't know how to negotiate that because we feel so at odds with what the other person wants, or the other person feels so at odds with what we want. It frightens them. It's confusing to them. They have no idea how to fit it into their lives. And we don't know how to negotiate when we're at polar opposites with somebody, or our point of view or their point of view scares the other one in some way and makes us want to dig our heels in and not move on it. What do you do? You're in relationship with somebody. How do you negotiate all this? It's what we're talking about today on More to Life. So if any of that feels a little familiar to you and you want to know what to do differently and better, as Greg said, more effectively, give us a call at 877-573-7825.
And looking at this topic through the lens of the theology of the body, you know, we recognize that we are all unique and unrepeatable, and that sounds great until we run up against someone who has the audacity to think and feel differently than we do. Then the fact that we're all unique and unrepeatable people doesn't feel so good. But a major challenge in fulfilling our call to build a community of love, as St. John Paul said in his Theology of the Body, is negotiating those differences between us and others with respect. And one of the best ways to do that is to remember that behind even the most irritating and obnoxious things that people do or think is an attempt, you know, however flawed it might be, to meet a need or a positive intention. Now, that does not excuse bad behavior.
Can we underline that? It does not excuse bad behavior.
But it does give us an entry point for challenging conversations about contentious topics and moving them forward, right? So instead of arguing about the superficials, we need to learn to step back and find out what the other person is trying to protect or what they're fighting for. And if we can respect the intention behind the behavior, even if we can't tolerate the behavior or the opinions themselves, we've discovered a way to begin to overcome even irreconcilable differences. And you know, I talked about this on Morning Glory this morning. Lisa and I are taking turns filling in for Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, who's been on...
Traveling. He's been traveling, doing his work and traveling. There was Australia and there was Portugal. Now it's all over Europe, and wow, we can't wait for him to come back and grace us with all those stories.
But I was talking about this whole idea of stepping back and trying to identify the intention mm-hmm. behind people's behavior. And the way I put it was you negotiate the how and the when, not the what. And I got an email after the show from Mary Beth in southern Florida who says, I don't argue about what I want. I argue about faith and morals, especially with my younger sister who loves to irritate me by saying vulgar and crass things and being indecent in conversation. The other is my daughter who has a list of subject prohibitions, religion and politics. She's intolerant of hearing anything other than what she believes, and what she believes is New Age nonsense. She, too, has abandoned her faith. What I want is for my family to go to heaven. I don't argue about small stuff. I think you missed the mark, Dr. Gregg, especially at this time in our nation. Mary Beth. Well, thank you for writing. Here's what you missed this morning. And it was early this morning, so... you know, I can understand why maybe you weren't cluing in entirely. No, look.
We're not saying that she clued out. What I think is very important is that she's pointing out that that she thought you were just talking about negotiating small things. And when something is as important as this person needs to get to heaven, she feels like it's a non-negotiable.
Well,
and we understand that.
And it is. We're going to be talking about those kinds of things throughout the course of the program. But when we talk about how to engage somebody who's coming at you this way,
mm-hmm.
you can't polarize that conversation, because if you do, you lose.
Yeah, it
never
works.
You lose your ability to witness them. What you need to do is say, you know, what is this person concerned with? And how can I address those concerns from a faithful perspective? Not saying to them, you're wrong and you're stupid, get out of here. You know, or I, you know, it's good to be concerned with our faith. It's good to want to share our faith with others. But in order to do that, we sometimes have to take the long view and negotiate the how and the when of how we approach them about that conversion process.
Well, we look at Jesus in this. You know, he didn't ever take the bait on getting into arguments about what religion taught or what faith taught. He came close to people's hearts and their lives, and then he taught them what God wants them to know about him, about relating to each other, about living in God's grace. All of that happened in a relationship that said, I care about you. I love you. You're not point on. You have to be redeemed. You have to be forgiven. He didn't compromise in any way, but he never took the bait when the Pharisees and the Sadducees were trying to get him into religious debates about things. Because that doesn't work.
So we're going to talk more about that throughout the course of the program, especially with Damon Owens, who's going to join us later in the conversation about the choice between being loving and being right, and how we can serve the truth even when we're choosing to be loving over being right. We'll talk more about that. So stick around, Mary Beth, and all the other folks who are in that same boat. We want to help you through it. 877-573-7825. What are the things that are hardest for you to negotiate between you and the people you love? Are there certain topics that seem to always lead to tension for you and someone you care about? Maybe you find yourself getting stuck in arguments about things that are important to you and you're tired of butting heads. We're here to help you break through and do better than just agreeing to disagree. The number is 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and we'll start taking your calls.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ. You give us the grace to bridge the differences, to bridge the gaps that sin creates in all of our relationships. And so we bring to you all those disagreements and conflicts where it's hard to see eye to eye with the people we care about, especially those serious situations like faith and values, and those times when we're being hurt by others and they don't want to hear what we're saying. Help us, Lord, to break through those barriers, but do it in charitable, gentle, loving ways that allow us to see the good behind the other person's position and the other person's concerns, and to address those concerns even while we're being faithful to the needs and concerns that you've placed on our hearts. Help us to have the wisdom that we need to bridge those gaps and create the communion that we were called to build in you. We ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, and in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pope St. John Paul the Great,
pray for us.
Today on More to Life, we are talking with you about agreeing to disagree. How do you get past those challenges where you and a loved one are just butting heads and going back and forth and back and forth and back and forth? Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Doug, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Missouri.
Hey, Doug, listening on Covenant Radio. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Hi, how are you doing this morning?
Good, thanks for calling us. What can we help you with?
Well, I am having issues. My wife and I are struggling, and I want to resolve it, and we're going through counseling, and I read your book first a while back, a couple months ago.
The How to Heal Your Marriage book?
Yes, and
okay.
So I'm having trouble, I believe, with pride and self-control. When we get into a discussion, disagreement, instead of going to the solution-focused brain, I'm going into the misery-making mindset, even though I know I shouldn't, and I'm
yeah.
having...
Boy, he really read the book. You've got it down.
Right.
Okay.
But, so I know what I need to do, but it seems like I sometimes can't keep myself from going into that, and
okay.
I just wonder if you guys can help me with some tools.
Sure can. Let me explain to our listeners what that means. Sure. Let me explain to our listeners what those two terms mean, and then I'll give you some ideas for how to break through that. But you know, just to encourage you a little bit, you know, the process of change involves different stages, of course. You know, and there's an old story that we like to tell in therapy circles that, you know, once upon a time there was a guy walking down the street and he fell in a hole. Then the next day he was walking down the street and he saw the hole, but he fell in it anyway. And the next day he was walking down the street and he saw the hole and he just missed it. And the next day he walked down a different street. You're at the place where you're seeing the hole but falling in it anyway.
Yeah.
But you're still on
you're on the process.
Yeah.
And it means you're going to one day walk down a different street and go, look at me, I'm walking down a different street. Aren't I great? And things are getting better.
Yeah, so don't be discouraged. This is part of it. You know, you're becoming aware of what's happening. And the more attuned you are to falling into that misery-making mindset, the better off you're going to be able to avoid it in the future. Now, again, what do those terms mean? In the book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love, I talk about these two different brain states that we go back and forth between. There's that solution-focused mindset, which is when our whole brain is turned on, right? So our emotional brain, our limbic system, is working full, and we're aware of our feelings, but our logical brain, our cortex, is also engaged, and they're kind of having a conversation with each other. So my emotional brain is saying, I'm really frustrated about this. And my logical brain is saying, okay, cool your jets. You know, here are some different things you could do about that. Here are some resources. Here are some tools. Here's how you got through similar problems in the past. You know, why don't we try some of these things? And you're talking back and forth inside yourself. When you go into the misery-making mindset, your logical brain goes offline. What happens is your bloodstream gets filled with adrenaline and cortisol and other stress hormones, and it shuts down. And you can actually watch that happen on a functional MRI if you're taking a picture of somebody's brain while they were angry. And their cortex shuts down, and the limbic system, the emotional brain, takes over, and all you can think about is, I just feel awful about this, and there's nothing I can do. Ah! Right? And then you just react. And that's what Doug is talking about, that tendency to go to that misery-making mindset where he just becomes stuck in focusing on the problem and then reacting to everything that his wife is saying. So you're seeing that problem, so how do you get out of it? What I'd suggest to you is don't just try to address it in the middle of an argument. I want you to do two things for me. Every day, I either want you to think about the last disagreement you had with your wife and write out what you think the solution-focused mindset response would be. If you had it to do over again and could respond in that mindset, what would you do? What would you say? How would you act? Actually script it out. The point is, you're giving your brain the opportunity to revisit the situation now that you're calmer and have that dialogue between your emotional brain and your logical brain where you're able to think through how I could handle it. Because guess what? That same argument's going to come up again, right? And if you do this after the fact, even though it's after the fact, it gives you a way to prepare yourself for the next time. Or even, if you like, to go back to your wife and say, hey, listen, I was thinking and praying about that last argument we had about X, and it occurs to me that maybe I should have handled it this way. Would that have worked better for you? And then you're able to have a productive, solution-focused conversation about how to handle that the next time it comes up, instead of just refighting the thing over and over and
over
again.
Yeah, and they even say, I love you so much, I don't want us to keep handling this the same way. Can we sit down together and script out, if it came up again, how we would do it? Not re-argue it, but say, you know, how you tell me how you would have liked to have seen me handle it. I'll tell you how I'd like to have handled it myself or have you handle it. And let's walk through it now that we're calm. If you start getting heated up, you just say, hey, this isn't about re-arguing. This is about us, you know, really being able to restructure things. I love you. Let's just take a break and go out for a cup of coffee or a piece of pie. Let's not do this together until we're calm enough.
Just to highlight what Lisa said here, don't re-argue the
no.
thing that happened in the past. Focus on, if it happened again, how would we like to do it better next time? Now, the other thing I want you to do is, let's say you had a day or a week where you didn't argue with your wife about something. But chances are there were still other times when you found yourself in your misery-making mindset. Maybe you were in traffic and somebody cut you off. Maybe something happened at work that upset you. Maybe your kids did something that was irritating. And you reacted to it instead of solving it in a solution-focused mindset. Take that situation and start writing out, okay, if I was in my solution-focused mindset in this situation, how would I have handled that? Don't just apply it to your wife. Look at your whole life and say, what are the opportunities God is giving me every day to practice staying in this solution-focused mindset? Then script that out and move forward with that. The more you're able to practice it both in anticipation of problems that are going to occur and as a way of debriefing yourself after you went into the misery-making mindset for how you could do it better next time, the more you're going to be prepared for when those situations come up to use those strategies. But if you just leave, what most people do is they blow up, they see that they did a stupid thing, and they say, oh, that was so dumb. I'm so glad that's over. I don't want to think about it anymore.
Yeah, so even when you can do what you're doing, Doug, which is identify all of the different components, I should have done this, why didn't I do that? Then you're just so exhausted by the fight that you don't think, okay, how can I do this differently the next time and script it out?
Yeah, so then you don't learn anything from your mistakes, and the next time the thing comes up, you just pick up right where you left off, and you keep doing the same dumb thing over and over again.
And so remember the analogy that Greg used at the beginning. So you script it out. Sometimes you'll have a little bit of success, but it'll grow. Eventually you'll learn how to go down a different road instead of getting trapped by that hole. But it's one step at a time, and you're on the right road.
I'm glad to hear that you're doing marital counseling right now, Doug. Feel free to talk about what we shared with you today on the air with your counselor. Also, the stuff in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. Work through it with the therapist so that you can get that extra coaching that you need to make those principles work. Thanks for the call, Doug, and we will certainly add you and your wife to our More to Life prayer list. All right, folks, we are taking your calls about those situations that you're butting heads with someone you care about on our show today, titled Agree to Disagree. Are there certain topics that seem to always lead to kind of headbutting between you and someone you care about? Are there times where you just feel like the best you can do is agreeing to disagree, or for that matter, disagreeing to disagree? We want to help you get past that and create the harmony and communion that God is inviting us to in all of our relationships. Let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. When we come back, in addition to taking your calls, we'll be joined by Damon Owens of JoyTOB.org, who's going to talk about the challenge of being loving over being right. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
Ann Arbor Smiles welcomes Dr. Patrick DiDonato and Dr. Abigail Walker to their team. Patrick is a parishioner of St. Thomas the Apostle in Ann Arbor, and Abigail is a pediatric dentist with openings available without a wait. Learn more about them at annarborsmiles.com. The team at Ann Arbor Smiles offers nearly every specialty in two convenient locations, including cosmetic dentistry, braces and Invisalign, and even sleep apnea. Ann Arbor Smiles provides care for the entire family. Visit AnnArborSmiles.com.
Ciao, Sorelli and Fratelli, sisters and brothers. Teresa Tomio here from Catholic Connection. Through the years, so many of you have contacted me asking for my advice on traveling to my favorite place in the world, Italy. Being that I've had the blessing of visiting the country more than 50 times now, I've decided to respond to those special requests by introducing Tease Italy at TravelItalyExpert.com, a website for all things Italia, where you'll receive insider tips on where to eat, stay, shop, play, and most importantly, pray. At TravelItalyExpert.com, you'll discover, with the help of our key partners, Ave Maria Radio and Corporate Travel, this beautiful Catholic country through videos, blogs, and even personal travel consulting. So whether you're planning that upcoming visit or just want to learn more about Italy, connect with me on TravelItalyExpert.com. Ciao for now. We'll see you online at Tease Italy, TravelItalyExpert.com.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 10 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan cost goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today our show is titled Agree to Disagree, as we look at those topics and situations that cause us to butt heads with the people that we love. Do you find yourself getting stuck in arguments about things that are important to you with people you care about? Well, let's find some ways through at 877-573-7825. Joining us right now, Damon Owens of JoyTOB.org is here to talk about the challenge of being loving over being right. Ooh, Damon, tough topic, man.
It is, and I have to give a shout-out to literally an old Italian grandmother in the second year of marriage. She said this basically without any of the theology. I was complaining to her about something Melanie was doing and how right I was and my perfect male engineering mind, and she looked at me with that perfect eyes, and she says, Damon, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
You know, and there's truth in that. There's real truth in the call to be loving over the call to be right. You know, I think that we can appreciate that, you know, we need to be loving to people even when we're mad at them, and there's certainly a value to being loving over being right. But here's where I get stuck with it. It sometimes feels like I'm throwing the truth under the bus, right? By giving up that need to be right. It's not so much I want to be right, it's that this is true, this is a true thing, and we should all accept that.
And especially when it comes to our faith or a moral teaching of our faith, we feel like that's a bone we can't let go of because we were worried about betraying God. Or not, as our listener, as Greg's listener this morning said, you know, what if our family doesn't get to heaven? So how do we negotiate that according to the theology of the body?
Absolutely. And again, we need to recognize this is a major, major element of our faith in general. This is not a sideshow or a side item. Our relationship with the one true God, objective truth about who he is, who we are, and how we're created, our salvation, those are objective realities. But every single one of them is connected with a unique, unrepeatable person, meaning that we have a unique and unrepeatable relationship with that one true God, with that one objective truth that we might be arguing over. And yet the journey is not about reinforcing that truth as if we don't defend it, it's no longer true. It's about that person's connection, unique and unrepeatable, to that truth. Therefore, when we have these conversations, when we have these engagements, it really does place the person and where they are and our connection to them above the assertion and of the truth, meaning that the powerlessness that we may feel and the powerlessness that they may feel about them being affirmed, them being of value, them being good, is precisely what we have to connect, because they need to know that they are worthy to be loved, that for who they are, and that what they're searching for is not necessarily the truth objectively, but the relationship with God Himself, so, and that's what we have to model.
All right. So if I'm hearing you right, what I'm getting is by saying I'm going to choose being loving over being right, that doesn't necessarily mean that I'm wrong, or that doesn't necessarily mean that I don't need to still serve the truth. What it means is I need to take a longer view, because if I just sort of force the issue right now and insist that you tell me that I'm right, you might tell me that I'm right, but I haven't captured your heart. And so that
Amen.
Doesn't really serve the truth at all, right? So, but if I take that longer view and work on the relationship and show you that I'm actually invested in you as a person instead of a project, then I'm able to witness to that truth over the long haul and make it less of a contentious thing, right?
Absolutely, but I would put the personal, the relationship, mm-hmm. First and primary, and that is what gives us the longer view. So the long view is not maybe a tactic to get us out of our own, you know, cycle of having to be right in the moment, but the focus and really to me is about power. That the power is not of asserting our will. That's the world's view. Power is about affirming communion. And being in relation with another, which means community requires that donor of self-gift, initiative, and also the receiving in a very giving way. So if we serve in power to communion, then we're not asserting our will, and that's the long view.
Powerful stuff. Damon, thank you so much for being with us. And, of course, if folks would like to learn more about your ministry and all the ways you can bless families, go to joytob.org. That's joytob.org. Listeners, what do you think? Are you struggling with certain topics that are causing you to butt heads with people you love? Give us a call, 877-573-7825.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization. Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org. Come visit Old St. Mary's in Greektown for their 15th annual homecoming Sunday, September 22nd. Following the new mass, there'll be outdoor refreshments, food, and fellowship. They welcome past and present parishioners and anyone who wants to see this historic downtown church. Whether you visited them before or just interested in looking for a future parish, it's a great time to meet with parishioners and discover Old St. Mary's. For more information, visit oldstmarysdetroit.com. That's oldstmarysdetroit.com.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Beth, why is our health insurance so expensive? Our premium and deductible are so high. Plus, I don't want my family to support a company that doesn't share our values.
Kim, there is another option. Check out CMF Curo. It's an affordable Catholic healthcare ministry where members share their medical costs in community, and it's pro-life. We joined last year and have saved thousands, all without compromising our values. Just go to MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
CMF Curo sounds exactly like what our family needs.
Yeah, that's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
Hi, this is Lisa Popcheck. Arguments between siblings are inevitable. We all want our children to develop strong bonds, but to do this, it's important to remember the healthiest sibling relationships begin from day one. And I do mean day one. Allow your older child to play some role in the new baby's birth. The status quo is to ship the older sibling off to some relative's house until the new baby comes home. But allowing your older child to participate in some way will solidify your older and younger child's place in the family and their relationship with one another. Whether that's cutting the cord, cuddling their sibling soon after birth, or helping give baby its first bath, we found that if the older child is involved in some way, the baby will be better received and you will lay a solid foundation for a healthy relationship. For more tips on how to foster healthy family life, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back, folks. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
We're talking about agreeing to disagree today on More to Life. If you are butting heads around a particular topic with someone you care about, and the best you've come up with is being able to agree to disagree, or maybe you just keep disagreeing, we want to help you get past that and create the communion that Damon was talking about that allows you both to really feel heard, understood, and cared for, and move through the disagreement to find peace. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with an anonymous listener on line one who's concerned about a conversation she's having with her husband.
Hey there, listener. Welcome to More to Life. What can we do for you?
Well, I think that first caller, Damien, I think his name was really helpful.
Doug was our first caller. Yeah. And
yeah,
Damon was our contributor.
On my heart, and I was... Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry.
Good.
Oh, no, I just had a lot on my heart and was really upset about this conflict my husband and I had, mm-hmm. and it's been an ongoing conversation.
So what's
and
the
what
conflict?
I think ultimately it is... I'm sorry?
What's the disagreement you and your husband are having?
Well, right now, currently, it's that we entered marriage. We've got a good Catholic marriage, 7 kids. You know, we were open to life and knew from the get-go that I would stay home with the kids so he could go and earn the money, and that's how we were going to do it. And we've really struggled because we've also been paying for their private tuitions to private Catholic schools, which is really expensive. But we've done it, and I'm really proud, actually, of what we've done. But I feel like all of a sudden I'm not respected. I wasn't looking for anyone's respect, but I've been kind of on the kids who come in and out. Because we've got college kids and high school kids now. It's our first year out of elementary school. And people are just throwing dishes in the sink, or they're not fully doing their jobs they're supposed to do. And I'm having to review it a lot. My husband, he corrects me as if I'm one of the kids. He stops me from talking as if I'm one of the kids, and he refuses to see that he does
now,
that.
Now, I'm happy to address this, but it was a different question than you have on the board here, which is that your husband was telling you that you need to go get a job and that you were feeling really
right,
kind of pressured by that?
Well, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it all funneled into that because he says you need to have more going on, you know, you need to get out of the house. And it's frustrating to me because I feel so incredibly overwhelmed and busy with the kids.
So this is not about money for him. This is not about addressing the budget. This is about, you know, him feeling like you're just too caught up in the family drama, and if you just got out of here, it'd be better for you. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Well, that doesn't really solve the problem, though, does it?
No.
Let me ask you a question. Does he think it would be better for you, or does he think that you would have... that you'd be more interesting to him, that he wants somebody who's, like, able to contribute in conversations and be part of his world? Or where do you think he's coming from on this? Because it could go in two different directions.
Right, I know. He's a very good man, and I really think his intent is that it would be good for me, but I think what he would gain is, because he said this, he says, I'm over-mothering. And I don't know, he says, you overmother, you don't know how you sound, you don't know, you know, he's like, basically it started because I tried to do what you were telling Damien to do. I have tried to start like, okay, get to a calm, good place, get together away from the kids, then say, you know, this is how I feel and this is what I need. But he has a history of, he gets very defensive. And now he kind of attacks me, so he started to attack me on this front.
So how would you give me a concrete example of what would you say to him to say, this is what's going on, this is what I need? Give me an example of that.
Well, basically, we were in the car, and it was maybe a half hour after this happened, and I said, you know, it really hurts me when you talk to me like that in front of the kids, because I feel like you're treating me as though I'm a kid, and I really need you to not do that. Can you please not do that? And then it funneled into that I overmother, I don't know how I sound, it drives them crazy, and basically a 15-minute drive, he just said all kinds of things, and I just couldn't say a thing.
Okay.
And then basically when we got back in the car, it was a car ride up to church for a church presentation. When we get back in the car ride, then he tells me, all right, I know you're mad. I won't talk to you like that, but I'm just going to leave the room from now on.
Okay, but none of those things solve the problem. Yeah, right, exactly. Good.
And at least he was willing to try something, even though he had no idea. He's trying to come to a resolution. So he's not just stonewalling you and walking away, which is very hopeful.
Okay, so here's what I want you to do. All right, in those examples, your intention, okay, is to try to solve certain problems. You know, you're trying to address concerns. His intention is to try to create more, you know, maybe peace and order in the household. And he feels like you're somehow, in the way you're addressing those concerns, contributing to the disorder, right? I don't know if that's true or not, but that's his take, okay? So what I'd like you to do, instead of just saying don't talk to me that way, be able to say to him, look, I understand that you feel like I'm just contributing to the chaos and the noise and the discord in the house. I don't know how to address these concerns without doing that. How would you propose handling these problems without having to, you know, whatever he would say, nag or complain or be conflictual or whatever it is? Give me some examples of how you would address that without going to the place that you see me going. The point is, okay, instead of just reacting off of each other, where you're saying, I have these concerns that nobody's addressing, and he's saying, can we just take the temperature down in the house? And you're talking past each other. Instead of just going back and forth that way, put both of those needs out there at the same time. Acknowledge them first. Say, look, I understand that you want to take down the temperature in the house. It's just too much conflict, too much tension, and it's frustrating for you to see me contributing to that. I get that. But I don't know how to do that and address these concerns. Can you help me figure that out? How can we do both of those things? Make him a partner in addressing both problems together instead of just it being, you know, I need to address these concerns. Well, I need more peace in the house. Well, I need to, and you go back and forth. Do you see what I'm saying? We talk more about this process, by the way, in How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. And if you guys are frustrated with each other, it sounds like you are, I encourage you to pick up a copy and go through the book chapter at a time. Do the exercises and the discussion questions in it. Start there to build on this. I mean, the suggestions we're giving you will get you started, might even get you the rest of the way. But if you need more support, I think the book will really help you really flesh out what it means to adopt this more solution-focused approach to discussion instead of just having these polarized things where you just react off of each other. If you find, you know, that you're still needing help beyond that, then it indicates that you probably need some counseling. And we'd be happy to help with that through the Pastoral Solutions Institute, or you can, you know, look for a local referral through MarriageFriendlyTherapists.com, work with us at CatholicCounselors.com. There are options, okay?
Like, what you need is somebody who's going to help you really script out how to do this, because both of you actually have a really good heart in this. You both have your family as primary place. He's trying to help you fix problems that you are saying you're having, and he's also seeing. You're also wanting the best for your family, and you're working very hard to make that happen. But you're both getting very caught up in the emotions and fixing it just within the confines of how you think it's going. And if you can step back from that, script this out, really get each other's input on it, well, this whole thing can turn around really well and make your whole family so much better off for it.
You know, so again, the two goods that are in play here are from his side. He wants to see his family stop eating each other and his wife contribute to the tension. You want to see that you're not being taken advantage of and they're addressing these concerns. Put them both out there and say, these are both really important. How can we work together to both get these needs met? Start there, and if there's more we can do to support you, don't hesitate to reach out to us to learn more about other resources at CatholicCounselors.com. How about you folks? Are you struggling with an issue that is causing you to butt heads with someone you care about? Let's talk through it. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Doug, who's listening to EWTN Radio in New Jersey.
Hey there, Doug. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on, man?
Hey, good morning. morning. I agree with the last caller. There's a blog on this, Danielle Sittel, S-I-T-T-E-L, on Google. It says 1387.
All right. Doug, you have a question, or you know? Because on the board, what you had here was, the agreeing to that you and your wife will have disagreements that can last up to 3 days. And after 3 days, you start to agree to disagree. What do I think about this? I think it's a terrible idea.
Terrible idea, because 3 days goes into another 3 days, into another 3 days, and then you've got a whole marriage full of stress and disagreement, and it just doesn't work. And so you don't want to be getting into these things where you're fighting and fighting and fighting. You know, everybody who's ever heard a homily has probably, even if you've gone to church once or twice in your life, has probably heard, you know, the homily on the scripture, don't let the sun go down on your anger. That does not mean that you don't sleep for 3 days because you keep fighting something out. But it does mean we don't want to let an argument go on indefinitely, that we really, once we're to that point where we're disagreeing, we've left any kind of problem-solving place entirely, and we really need to step back and rework that so that we can get to a solution-focused place instead of just mouthing off about our own opinions.
877-573-7825. Are you butting heads with someone you care about around an important topic you're not sure how to get agreement on? Let's talk it out together. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Stephen, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Massachusetts.
Hey there, Stephen. Welcome to Mortal Life. What's up, man?
Hello.
Hi, Stephen. You're on. What can we do for you?
The situation is basically between me and my older brother. We're pretty tight. We're 14 years apart. He's the oldest. I'm the youngest of seven kids. Grew up in a pretty strong Irish Catholic family, and like I said, we're close, but we do have our differences, which are pretty significant regarding various issues of life. Such as, to give you some examples, he's not to go down a political road, but he's very much a product of the 60s regarding being a very leftist views in regards to both faith, politics, social issues. I mean, the list goes on. And as I've gotten older, now that I'm in my mid-50s, I've become more conservative in a lot of my views. I think a lot of that has to do with my faith. I'm pretty strong, I feel, in my faith, and he's not as strong, so to speak. We have many discussions in regards to our faith, and the challenges that we have is that especially over the past few years, when it comes to issues of politics, religion, social issues that's going on right now, especially in the United States, that we just, well, like you guys said earlier, agree to disagree and not really get into those issues. And we talk more about lighter topics.
Okay.
So to speak.
Okay. And that's not working for you somehow? And what's the issue?
It is, but at the same point in time, when we do, it eventually does come up in regards to politics specifically or religion.
Okay.
Because it is a major part of our lives.
All right, so let me throw this out. Because, first of all, I'm glad to hear that you guys are able to have a relationship aside from these contentious issues, because that's a really important part of this. You know, it's what we were talking about with Damon earlier. The idea of being loving more than being right doesn't mean that we throw the truth under the bus. It means we take the longer view on things. We recognize that the most important thing is working on the relationship so that God can continue to use us to be a witness to the truth over time. So good for you for being willing to build a relationship around these other non-contentious issues. But you're right, of course. In a relationship with anybody, these hot topics are going to come up from time to time.
Especially when they seem to be so much of an essence of who we are. It's not like, oh, I barely pay attention to the news, or I barely pay attention to my faith. When they're pretty much a strong thing that we concentrate on all the time, the very fiber of our being, it's hard to avoid that and just talk about the weather all the time, you know?
So what I want you to do is resist the temptation that a lot of Catholics who are take their faith seriously fall into, and resist the temptation to go to easy categories, okay? To not just polarize this and turn it into a fight between Democrats and Republicans, but really look at this from these different issues from a Catholic lens.
And that's true for anything we would label.
So, for instance, he's probably got some really valid concerns from a perspective of, for example, Catholic social teaching. Like, for example, the dignity of all people, right? The importance of being able to provide a healthy life for everybody, the importance of the dignity of workers, the importance of creation. All of these things are addressed in Catholic social teaching, and often the solutions and ideas that we present from a very orthodox view, by the way, on Catholic social teaching, because a lot of times people hear that phrase and they automatically think, oh, liberal. No. Catholic social teaching isn't, if it's administered properly, isn't conservative or liberal. It's Catholic. And if you really kind of study these issues from that perspective, you can have some really interesting conversations with your brother, because it's going to propose ideas that go beyond the traditional polarized categories of conservative versus liberal, Democrat versus Republican. It proposes much more well-rounded, I'm going to say the word ecological, not in terms of environment, but in terms of it takes everything into account in a way that these convenient categories don't. So my suggestion to you, if you want to go deeper with your brother, is to look at the third way that's proposed by an orthodox view of Catholic social teaching, to start really reading up on it, and really learning more about how you can engage in thoughtful, faithful conversations about these contentious issues that go beyond the two convenient, rigid categories that we all tend to fall into, kind of out of laziness. So just, you know, if going deeper with your brother is worth it, take the time. Maybe this is God's invitation to you to really learn more about how to apply our faith in faithful ways to these contentious issues that we tend to just write off as liberal or conservative or whatever.
Well, I just have to underline that for all of our listeners who are saying, you know, this always comes up, this is so frustrating. Personally, I can say in our lives, Greg, when God has put somebody who is extremely argumentative about a particular topic, especially a topic that is close to our hearts, often when we step back from our aggravation about it, we can see it's God's invitation to go deeper with him, to study more, to learn more about how he would handle it, or what our church has taught about it for 2,000 years, which is the truth. Not to use it as a weapon against someone, but to be able to stand in the truth and reason, because the Catholic Church reasons so, so beautifully. And if we can sit at her feet and learn her wisdom and really investigate it rather than spout off the stuff that we have learned through listening to political secular news or whatever it is, but really become tutored by Holy Mother Church, suddenly we have real things to say that open people's eyes while we also have a much more tender heart, because we can only have a tender heart when we sit at the feet of our mother.
Yeah, beautiful points. Thank you. 877-573-7825. We're continuing to talk with you about how to get unstuck in arguments about things that are important to you. We'll continue with your calls after the break.
Today's programming on 990 WDEO is brought to you in part by a gift made from our day sponsor, Father Bryant, urging you to attend the Fall Festival at St. Thecla Parish in Clinton Township, Saturday, September 21st and Sunday, September 22nd. Fun and fellowship for all ages, with children's rides, games, food, music, dancing, and other prizes. Prayer teams available in the church as well. Come light a candle and hope to see you there.
The Wine Palace in Livonia is a proud sponsor of Ave Maria Radio. The Wine Palace is a family-owned business for over 60 years where customers come in for great service. The 9,000-square-foot store includes a humidor, specialty wine room, deli, and a rare and collectible spirits room. We have the largest selection of spirits in the state at the most competitive prices. Ask for one of the brothers, Cliff or Kelly, and thank them for their strong support of Catholic Radio. Delivery is available. Please visit the Wine Palace at I-96 in Middlebelt or at winepalace.net.
My dad, sharp as a tack, but getting him out for a dentist trip got harder every year. When he moved to the senior residence where he lives now, Dr. Mansour's portable dental service was a godsend. Dr. Mansour comes to wherever the homebound patient may be, whether in a nursing facility or the comfort of home. All the services you'd expect in a dentist office brought straight to the patient's door. Call 586-873-5567. That's 586-873-5567 or portabledentalservices.com.
Would you get on a plane that doesn't have a pilot? Investing in passive index mutual funds may present the same issue. The Ave Maria Mutual Funds are actively managed by seasoned investment professionals to help you meet your investment goals in a morally responsible way. Ave Maria funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors could invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
Welcome back. We're so glad to be with you on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we're talking about negotiating conflicts gracefully. With that, let's go to our next caller.
We're talking with Edward, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Texas on the Guadalupe Radio Network.
Hey, Edward, what's going on?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it very much.
Sure, what's your question?
My wife and I, we've been married for 23 years now. We have a 20-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 7-year-old boy. And recently, we had a discussion at our dinner table. We like to have dinner as much as we can together as a family. The 20-year-old is off to college now. So we had the senior in high school and we had the 7-year-old. And there was a discussion where I ended up disciplining the 7-year-old. It wasn't a bad discussion or a bad discipline or anything like that. It was just, you know, hey, we need to straighten up. But anyway, my wife, for whatever reason, jumped in and basically kind of bit my head off about the whole thing. And we had previously come to a discussion and an understanding that if she or I had a problem with whatever was going on, we'd discuss it away from the children. We didn't want to argue or have a discussion or disagreement in front of the kids.
Can I ask you an honest question here?
Sure.
Did you come to an agreement on that, or did you indicate that you'd prefer that she didn't, and she kind of like said yes, but she's not really on board with it?
Oh, no. Years ago, actually.
Okay.
When
all right,
our
so
oldest daughters were, yeah, when they were
okay.
younger.
Good. I just wanted to clarify.
So,
go ahead.
Absolutely. So it came out of the blue. It was kind of weird. And so we stepped away and she decided to leave the table. And so I started to go up, upstairs with her and ask her, I said, what's going on? And I said, why did you jump on me like that in front of the kids? And she said, because she thought that my argument was a stupid argument. And so I'm not sure how to kind of, come back on that and okay. try to come to an agreement.
Okay.
Because it's one of those things that we had discussed prior, and I just didn't want that to be in front of the kids.
All right. So two things on this. First point. It's a good idea to not argue, especially about discipline in front of the kids. But inevitably, you know, husbands and wives are going to do things that they disagree with. And it's useful to have some kind of a signal, some kind of a way that you can let the other person know quietly, gently, that, hey, you know, could we just take a minute and talk?
It can even be as simple as, you know, saying to the child, hey, you know what, I think Dad and I really need to step back and pray about this together and have a conversation so that we can best serve you with the concerns we have. That ends the conversation between the parent and the child enough to say, yes, we're getting back to this, but we want to be of one mind.
Yeah, but
it doesn't have to be like a secret signal.
Yeah, no, but whatever it is, you the two of you work out, look, ideally we're going to save these conversations for later on. But if you really can't stop, if you really feel like I'm putting my foot in it, let's come up with some ways that you could let me know so that, you know, we could address it somehow? How would we handle a similar situation differently in the future? So that's number one. Number two, in terms of this, you know, her saying your argument was stupid thing, I'd like you to follow the same template that we suggested to with another caller. Put out there the two goods. What's the concern you've got? What's the concern she's got? Say, look, I understand that you are concerned with X.
Or tell me what you're concerned with if you don't know.
Yeah, and I'm concerned with Y. Now, honey, how would you propose us both addressing both of those concerns? If it was up to you, what would you do to handle both of those things at the same time? So let's talk through how we can be partners in this, instead of arguing about whether the issue is relevant or not. Because what she's saying is, she didn't like the way you handled it, but she doesn't necessarily know what your concern is. And sometimes we don't either. So taking that time to step back and really clarify what exactly it is we're trying to accomplish, and then enlist the other person's support as a partner, gives us a way to move forward. We do talk about all of this more in our book, How to Heal Your Marriage and Nurture Lasting Love. This looks at 8 habits that healthy couples practice that any couple can learn. Check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. And listeners, while you're there, if there's more we can do to support you in your efforts to resolve conflict between you and the people you care about, learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. All there at CatholicCounselors.com. Get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live. There's so much more to life.
Listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popchak. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.